What does it take to have courage? How can I be someone that I'm not? How can I not be afraid when I am afraid? I'm locked behind this cage, stuck, and I feel so worn out when I try. Everything moves so slowly. Tell me, how do people have the confidence to do what they've never done before? How can I be something that I'm just not? I can't seem to get anyone's attention when I try, and I don't know how to run if I'm not walking yet. What does it take to have courage? Show me what it takes. I want to know. I hear the world and what they're saying, what they scream, who I am, my place, where I don't belong, what I cannot achieve, that my future is a product of my past, that my ability to create something new is in chains to my fear. What does it mean to have courage, to step up, to step out? Show me. I want to see the world with new eyes, to love with fierceness unbridled, to be free in my heart and peace in my mind, as I leap from these cliffs of uncertainty and the lies that fall softly from them. I want to change the world. I want to be remembered. I want to be seen and known and true from the inside out. And all of this because you know me, because you see me, and because you say I am free. I am here, and I'm breathing. Show me what it takes to have courage, and I will step up.
Last week, we talked about how you get to decide whether or not you want to be in God's family. The people of Israel, they were born into it. They just got to be in God's family. They were told, here's this promise, here's this place, here's what God has for you. But you and me, we don't get to decide what actual family we're born into, but we actually get to choose who we're going to worship. We get to decide, like, if we're going to trust in God. And then we get to look at how God treated his family in the Old Testament and his promises there, and then say, okay, if he did that here, and now he invites me to be in that family, what are the promises he makes to me? And we talked about that last week. And it's amazing what God promises us. It's amazing what he offers us, and how as he invites you into his family, it's really incredible what it means to be a part of it. And what I have found and continue to find all the time, and I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to feel bad. Like some people felt a little bit bad after I said this, like that I'm upset if you do this. But like I have phone calls or Facebook texts or messages or emails all the time that come from people. Some of you are out there and you've done this, and I'm not saying this is bad if you do this, but you call me in a panic. Like it happens, like you call me like in a panic, and sometimes you do that and you fully trust who God is and what it is, but it's a really difficult situation and you need just some prayer or some guidance. And sometimes you call me in a panic, and a lot of times I find people call me in a panic because what's happened is they've walked through life, and you walk through life, and if you're honest, like, you don't daily trust God. That's what happens. Like, you're not, like, every day, like, okay, God is good, and I'm remembering what God did, and God's going to be faithful, and I'm going to worship God. And, like, so many people go through their life kind of walking through and not trusting God. Then crisis happens. Some type of crisis, whether it's a family crisis, a financial crisis, like a health crisis, a relationship crisis, whatever it is, like something hits, and then it's a huge compliment, but they call me and they ask me to fix it, and I can't, but I love being asked. I mean, wow, you think I can help you? I mean, and I sit with you or I talk with you, and I do believe that listening, and I try to listen and take some time, and yes, the church can you know, get you connected to a counselor, and the church can get you in a small group where you can walk through some of the difficult stuff together. But a lot of times, to be honest, the people who call me in a panic, they're not in tune with who God is. They're not in tune with the people of God. They're not personally connected really to God every single day. And they walk through, and then something strikes, and then they're in this panic. And if you're honest, and this is true about this church and really every church, we don't, most of us, truly believe in God. Like we, if you're honest, we do not believe in the God of the scriptures, and we don't believe often anything about what he's done in the past. And that gets exposed in the panic. Now, come on. I panic, okay? So this is not like I figured out faith and I never panic. I panic a lot. I get to places where I lose sight of who God is, I lose sight of what God has done, and I flip out and I call my friends or whatever it is. And there's lots of reasons we do that. Sometimes it's we want something, we don't want something, whatever it is, something happens. We all panic. But a lot of times people call me after years and years of no trust in God, no striving after God, no understanding God, and then crisis hits. And this is kind of the world that we live in. And it's actually what is called a post-Christian world. In the U.S., we don't live in a non-Christian world. We live in a post-Christian world. And at 514 Church, one of the reasons we do what we do is because we have looked at some information, we've seen where people are, some of the data, and the truth is that a lot of people don't believe in the scriptures, they don't trust God, millions and millions of people have no interest in learning who God is, and so at 514 Church, on a Sunday morning, you might be in here and you might be going, yeah, I don't really believe in God. Or you might say you believe in God, but really you don't. And it gets exposed in the panic. Because for some reason when the panic comes, you have no courage, you have no peace, you have no ability to get through it. But you might say, I believe in God, but then when something happens, it exposes whether or not you believe it. And that's because this church, this room, lots of churches are filled with people who aren't interested. Don't believe God is real. Don't believe that God has done what he said he did, and don't believe he can do more. And so I, on a Sunday, I, in our church, our music, Dandy, the guys that make us laugh, our kids team, we make actually the assumption that people don't know the scriptures. And so a lot of you that grew up in the church, you've heard me teach in different contexts, like at Expressing, we had a worship night last night, and I get up here, and I just kind of like preach and make some assumptions that the people in the room care, like that they care about God, and it's like, hey, you people that care about God, let's go further, and people are like, yeah, and I have people come up to me after those nights, like, I love it when you teach, I love it when you preach, man, because they grew up in the church, they already care about what the scriptures say, so now they're just getting, you know, encouraged. But my heart is to do that, but I have a really, really big heart for people that don't care, don't know, and don't follow. So on a Sunday, we make the assumptions there's a lot of people who are illiterate. And so Andy Stanley, who is really kind of a person that I've emulated and wanted to know about, he's a great pastor and leader in Atlanta, Georgia. If you grew up in the church, you might have heard of Charles Stanley. It's his son. In 2004, I walked into his church, and he started a church that was designed for unchurched people. You can imagine in the South, in the Bible Belt, lots of people grow up knowing the Bible, and everybody goes to the churches where, you know, they assume you know the scriptures. And he was like, I want to make a church where we assume that people don't. And so I make that assumption on Sunday mornings. Like, we try to go like, well, what? People don't care. People don't know. People don't, And because we want you to say, like, we want to talk to the person who is out there. I care a lot about people who don't care about God. That's like my burden. So that's why I talk the way I talk or, you know, care about certain things and say things a certain way because we're assuming a lack of interest. Well, Andy Stanley says this about being post-Christian, and it says a ton about why people panic. This is a ton. Look what he says. This is in Outreach Magazine. You can read it. He says, in a non-Christian society, people may have never heard anything about Christianity and therefore have few to no preconceived notions. So non-Christian is Rome, Greece in the first and second century. Jesus is new. People are just starting to tell about him. They know about this God or that God or a myriad of gods. They know about all these different gods, but they don't know about Jesus. And so now we're non-Christian. Now you're introducing Christ to us, and we don't know. A little bit like a child. The basics, right? Every child is non-Christian, right? They don't know, so you're introducing Jesus to them. Well, in our society, because, you know, for hundreds of years, there's been the gospel, and people have been in churches, and people have heard. A lot of people have heard about Jesus. And so it's not that we're non-Christian. He says it's that we're post-Christian. And therefore have little to know. A post-Christian society is the opposite. This is us. This is our church. This is Columbus, Ohio. This is the United States of America in general. It's the opposite. Post-Christian people, it's the opposite. In a post-Christian society, people have been exposed to Christianity, in our case, for generations. Parents, your grandparents, but are opting out for a different worldview. They're opting out. You see what he said? Exposed. You heard the main stories. You know why the Christmas trees go up at Christmas time. You understand the Easter Bunny and what the real story is, because, you know, Wikipedia, 5 minutes, figured out. Like, you know, like, you're exposed. Like, it's everywhere. Like, you know, I mean, Christian Bale made a movie about, you know, the Exodus. I mean, you get exposed to the Red Sea parting and watch it happen in, you know, this kind of epic cinematic fashion. We were exposed to it, but what happens is, the reality is that most people hear the stories, they're exposed to the message and the man of Jesus, and they go, uh-uh, I don't believe that. I don't believe God parted the Red Sea. I don't believe Jesus rose from the dead. I don't believe all that. So then what happens? Walk through life with your own worldview. Maybe it's riches. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's success. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's drugs. Whatever it is that you kind of like, I mean, maybe it's Beyonce. I don't know. Like, maybe that's your worldview. But what happens is like this thing about God exists, walk through life, crisis happens, and so often you call me. That's when you call me and you're like, oh, you know, I don't know how to get through this. I don't know how to do this anymore. And I'm listening and I'm asking questions and I'm hearing that for so many people, this is not everyone that calls me, so I'm not picking on anybody. This is over literally 20 years of different people calling me for different reasons. It's happened throughout my entire ministry. People call me as a youth pastor, worship director. They call me. So they do this thing, they kind of go through this thing, and then panic, crisis, and I'm going, so what have you been doing about that? Nothing. Are you in a small group? No. Like, do you believe in the scriptures? Not really. But I want God to fix it now. Like, I'm in panic, so I'm like, would you believe in this story? No, I mean, And then I sit with people, and I, like, say things that sound extremely pastoral, because I'm like, oh, man, there's just so much to talk about here. Like, you know, I tell people this. I was sitting with someone in a hospital room this past week, 2 weeks ago, and I told them, you know, everything's going to be okay. And they're like, I don't know how you can say that. And I'm like, well, it's because I believe something about God. Like, I have this faith that's like, it helps me through. It gives me courage in the face of adversity because of what God has done and what he's done in my life and what he continues to do and what his promises are. And that actually matters. And I've been through panic and I've been through crisis, and it's given me courage in the face of that. So people, they choose something else, a different narrative through which to make sense of the world. In a post-Christian society, people know the stories. You know the story. I mean, you know the story. In the Old Testament, 39 books. I think it's 39:27. 39 books. There's one story that gets told over and over again. It's the parting of the Red Sea. The people of Israel are reminded of the parting of the Red Sea. Because God's like, look what I did. Remember what I did. Remember who I am. And honestly, like, in the face of any crisis, if you believed that God did that, it will give you courage. But most of us don't. Let's be honest. And when crisis hits, what do we lean on? They just don't believe him. We've heard the stories. They just don't believe him. Or in many cases, they don't believe him anymore. And maybe something has deteriorated your faith, and maybe you just keep going, and it just keeps getting difficult, and maybe you kind of place your faith in God, but then it gets worse. You see, the reality is that we have this choice to obey God. We have a choice to trust God, to place our faith in him. We have, unlike the nation of Israel, a choice to worship him, to say, you're my God, I want to be in your family. And then when he brings you in your family, you can never leave his family. But then in his family, you don't always have to obey. You don't always have to trust. And so we have this choice to obey God. We have this choice to trust God. But here is what I have found over and over again, and panic and crisis reveal this over and again. If you will not obey God, you will not trust God if you don't believe the stories of God. Like, you won't. And so we have this huge mountain to climb. We have this huge problem in front of us. You're going through your life. You're struggling with whatever it is you're struggling with. That crisis will come. You will come to that place of panic. And some people have trusted God the entire way to that panic. And when that panic or that crisis comes, they have courage. And some people don't. And I believe that the key to courage is the belief in who God is and what he has done and what he can do in the midst of your crisis. And so if you're sitting here today and you like the idea of God, you like the, but you don't truly believe that God parted the Red Sea, then when crisis comes, you're in trouble. You won't have courage. Now, the stories of God are so amazing, and we're talking about stepping up. And so we have this like multi-layered thing where we get to look back on a group of people who in their context lost faith and didn't believe in the stories of God. And so over and over again, God is reminding his people, here's what I can do. Here's why you should move forward. Here's why you can have courage. Here's why you can keep fighting. So the people of Israel in Joshua chapter 1, it's not a huge story up to this point. You have God picks Abraham. Abraham has a son named Isaac. Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob's name changed to Israel. Israel has 12 sons. One of his sons named Joseph becomes the leader of Egypt. All of his family eventually moves to Egypt. For 400 years, the Israelites become slaves. And then Moses comes onto the scene. He delivers the people from slavery in Egypt. They go out of this slavery conditions in this nation through the Red Sea in a miraculous fashion. They end up in this desert land where, because they disobey God, they and the generation that was released from prison and released from slavery doesn't get to go into the promised land. They wander around in the desert for 40 years under Moses. Moses dies and then hands it off to Joshua on the margins of the promised land that God told Abraham they would have. This is where Joshua picks up. And we talked about how God promises to give Joshua the same thing that he promised to give Moses, the same thing that he promised to give Isaac, the same thing that he promised to give Abraham. Hey, this is for you. Here's your promise. You're already in the family. You get this. And so they have no choice to be in it, but they had a choice to obey. And what God does is he takes Joshua and he tells him, you need to be courageous. Listen to this. This is so cool. So this is in Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Listen, you guys just get this. Joshua, who has miraculously wandered through the desert. I mean, in the desert, God provided fire and smoke and manna from heaven to feed the people. He had all these amazing things happen. Joshua was also a part of when the Red Sea, like he knew about the story. He was there and he went through this Red Sea and saw it all happen. He knew the goodness, but he's about to go on another journey and God says to Joshua, Joshua, you are about to go into this amazing land. And you know what? You have got to trust me. He goes, Moses, you remember Moses? Yeah, I remember Moses. Hey, Joshua, you remember what I did with Moses? Yeah. Okay, I'm the same. Remember how I took him through the Red Sea? Remember? Yeah. Remember how he was in crisis? Yeah. Remember how I delivered him? Yeah. I'm here. Same God. You can trust me. So God tells him, like, Joshua, like, man, I'm with you the same way I was with Moses. Remember how I gave him the law and I told him to listen to the law? You need to listen to the law too. You need to do exactly, it's the same thing. I told them to listen to it. I gave them to Moses. Now you need to do it too. If you do it, you get to have success. Look what he says. He says, I gave the law to my servant Moses. Remember what I did for him. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may be successful. The word of God is this weapon. The word of God is this tool. If you listen to what God says, then you will be successful. That's it. Just listen to the word of God. Wherever you go, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Then he says this, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Wait a minute. You just said that, like, if I just do the word of God, then I will be prosperous. So then why does he come and say, but Joshua, you need to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Why does God say to this new leader, you are promised all this? Listen to my words and be courageous. Be courageous. You see, the thing that makes Joshua courageous is the belief in what God had done. So he's like, you need to know, you are gonna face so much adversity, but you need to be courageous because I'm the same God. They had courage because they believed the stories. They're like, okay, we're standing on the edge. Let's go. We can do this. You did it for Moses. You'll do it for us. I know this is true. I've learned this my whole life. And even so, this is going to be challenging, but you're the same God. And I talk to people every single week, once a month, who show up on the edge of the promised land with a huge crisis, and they have no belief in the stories of God. They have no belief that the scriptures are even true. Like, imagine my job. Dude, man, like, we got the notice. I was talking to someone this week, and this wasn't a panic story, but this is just what happens all the time. Someone this week, yesterday, told me, dude, I lost my job. And he wasn't panicking. So if you're in here right now, he wasn't panicking. But this is just off the top of my head. He lost his job. I hear from people all the time, lost my job. They show up, crisis. Freaking out. Joel, help me. Remind me, what can I do? I'm like, well, do you believe that God, I mean, think about this, it becomes so cliche. Sitting in a hospital bed, sitting at home with no job, sitting in a relationship crisis, will you help me? People call me all the time. My wife and I, we're on the brink. We're going to get divorced. Call me. Okay. All right. Now you want me to help you. Just stop. You believe that God parted the Red Sea? I don't really think about that. Okay. All right. You believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, I heard about that, but I don't. Here's the thing. Like, when God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous, I remember as a kid growing up thinking, like, the promised land, man. Like, the promised land is so great. If we could just get to the promised land. Like, once we get there, man, God calls it the land of milk and honey. It's going to be this wonderful place where we have all this territory. We have all this dominion. We have all this power. All this stuff. God has given it to us. Just got to trust. Just got to believe. Just got to the promised land. So I went back and for this series read the entire book of Joshua. The book of Joshua has, here's the storyline. They go into the promised land. They beat Jericho. They fall to Ai. After they fall to Ai, they make an adjustment for 7 years minimum. Scholars, 7 years minimum. The nation of Israel throughout the promised land wanders in war. Battle after battle after battle after battle after battle. You guys, the promised land is a war zone. You need to know that if you're not at your crisis today, you will be at it tomorrow. And God has the ability to give you courage in the midst of it. And what will give you courage in the midst of your crisis is the stories of who God is and what he's capable of. So if you don't believe God parted the Red Sea, when you see the giant, you run with your tail between your leg. If you don't believe that God parted the Red Sea, when you see a walled, fortified nation, you think, how could we? We don't even have our own city. How could we beat them? When you see armies that have trained for battle and they have four times as many men, you're thinking, there's no way. When you lose your job, you're thinking, there's no way. When you get sick with terminal illness, you're thinking, there's no way. When your kid gets kicked out of school, you're thinking, there's no way. Because you actually don't believe who God is. This is a war zone, man. Life is a war zone. And you might be thinking, and here's the biggest danger about the war zone thing. You might be thinking that crisis is obvious. You see, one of the biggest tricks that the enemy tries to do is to make you think that crisis is obvious. Because here's what you believe. You think, I got the money saved, I got this worked out, I got this. You kind of fortify your position, and you think, when the enemy comes, I'll see it. Anyone thinks that they'll see the enemy when they come, doesn't see the enemy when he comes. Doesn't see the difficulty. Doesn't see the challenge. So maybe you live in a life of comfort and you have a lot of finances. God actually says in the New Testament, Jesus says that greed is one of the most horrific enemies you could ever have. He talks about it more than any other thing, greed. And he says that you can, through greed in acquiring things, gain the entire world and lose your soul. So some of you think that you're okay, but what is actually true is you're in a war zone and you're just being baited. Because what will happen is in an instant, I grew up in a church where the pastor of the church was an extremely successful realtor, and in an instant, everything shut down. Everything shut down. He lost his job, he lost this, he had no more money, he was totally in crisis. And God shifted him into the ministry. This is story after story for any person. And if you don't believe that God can get you through that, what do you do when you come to crisis? How do you make it through that? You see, the story of God's word and God's stories, as he tells us, is to give you a weapon. A weapon. God's word is a weapon, man. It is what you need. The story of God in the back of your mind is a weapon. It's a sword in your hand to take on the crisis that is coming. So when you believe that God parted the Red Sea, you will come to your Red Sea and you will have courage. And you will be around a lot of other people who don't. They're freaking out. And you'll see the difference. Because we have weapon options. We put our trust in money, we put our trust in people, we put our trust in ourselves. We spend all our life worshiping a Beyonce, Kanye, whatever it is. And we just like live that. Crisis comes and there's something inside of us that says, I need outside help. I need God. I'm going to call Joel. Joel says, do you believe? You say no. I go, what? What do you want me to tell you? This could be really hard. Life is a war zone. Life is a battle zone. I take this stuff. It's called Total War. It's a pre-workout. It's 250 milligrams of caffeine. I take half a scoop before I preach. You're welcome. I'm getting better. I take it because I'm tired. We have three kids. I'm 36. I'm trying to eat better, but it doesn't always go right. So before I go to the gym, I take this pre-workout because I know it's going to be a war zone and I need some help. The Word of God is what you have to fill your body up with every single day, because that day will bring a crisis. It will bring a crisis. I promise you, it is on the horizon. The people of God with the promises of God walked in to utter crisis. And God tells them, you can be courageous because of why? What I did in the past. People that have courage in the midst of crisis look at the past of what God has done and are able to look into the future with confidence, no matter what. So look at the beauty, right? So let's look at the story, right? Because what you need to do is actually hear more of the story. One of the reasons why we do church this way and we put the scripture on the screen is like, so you can see it and you can know the story, because maybe today God can drop a seed of like courage in your heart, so that when the crisis comes, you go, man, if God could figure that out, he could figure me out. He could figure this out. He could figure that out. Here's the beauty of this story, right? Joshua 5. The story of God will give you courage in the midst of your crisis. The story of God will give you courage in the midst of your crisis. Here's what happens. This is beautiful. Joshua stands on the bank of the promised land, and he's afraid. And God comes to him and says, don't be discouraged. Do what I told Moses to do. Don't be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. You can do it. I was with him and I will be with you. And in my mind, Joshua was afraid. And God comes to him and says, hey, when you walk into the Jordan River, the water will stop and all of the nation of Israel will cross into the promised land. What does that sound like? What does that sound like? Doesn't that sound like Moses being delivered from the Egyptians through the Red Sea? God comes, he understands the brokenness of us. He understands our disbelief. He understands how we don't believe in him. So he comes to Joshua and he says, hey, Joshua, I'm gonna do the exact same thing for you that I did for Moses. So he looks at the old story. He still doesn't have enough courage. That's why we sit in here today and we go, yeah. What does it matter to me? What does it matter to me? Joshua's sitting there going, so he did the Red Sea for them. I have a sea in front of me. How are you going to help me? And God shows up and goes, just go walk in the water, man. I will be with you. I'm with you, man. So they cross into the Red Sea. I mean, we most of us don't believe this is true. Because what the Bible says is that the water of the Jordan comes down and it just stops and it just builds a wall. Can you imagine? Oh my word, that wall keeps getting taller. What if God decides to stop when I'm in the middle? But they go. They cross and they come to a place right outside of Jericho. Just the story of God. If he did this for them, what's he doing for you? What's he going to do for you? Listen to this story. Awesome. And Joshua is getting ready to take this town of Jericho. There's these huge fortified walls, 20, 30 feet. And he's got this nation. They don't have anything but swords and some horses. They don't have much. We're going to take this land. This is our land, and there's this nation, and there's this city, and there's this town. And they walk in, and this is what it says happens to Joshua. It says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up, and he saw a man. Oh, please read this with me. Joshua looked up, and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or are you for our enemies? He says, neither. He replied, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? You know what people really, like, really smart, study the scripture, you know who they think this is? Jesus. Jesus. Wait a minute, like my crisis, like I have my crisis. I'm gonna come to my river. I'm gonna come to my fortified city. I'm gonna do it. We think like it's happened before. Can it happen again? Jesus is like, he shows up. He says, I'm here. Jesus showed up with a sword and said, I'm with you. And then look at this next part. The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And Joshua did so. What's that sound like? Moses. Moses goes up onto a mountain. There's a burning bush. Take off your sandals. Oh, this is the same God. He's with you in the midst of this crisis. Oh, I don't want you to forget. Yeah, the Red Sea. How about the Jordan? How about me as a warrior king leading you to take over Jericho? You see, the story of Jericho is to show you the way it will go. The story of Jericho will show you the way it will go when you have God in the middle of your crisis. Everything about the story of Jericho is to know that the word of God, the stories of God, the history of God, what he has done means that you can dominate your crisis through simple trust. You can dominate your crisis through trust. That's what happens. Look what the commander, we always think like, oh, a voice must have came out from heaven. Oh, this what is it? What? Here's, it was flipping, sorry, like it was like, it's this warrior, man. Leather straps and just beard, probably nice beard. I don't know. Talking to Joshua. They crossed the Red Sea. Oh my gosh. Everyone says in the Bible, it says in the scriptures, that after they crossed the Red Sea, the way that Moses had them cross the Jordan, the way that Moses did the Red, everyone listened to Joshua and was like in awe of him the same way. It's like, okay, so God really is here. But then Joshua's still scared. He walks out to the side of the town, and then Jesus shows up. Are you scared? I'm here, man. I'm with you. Let's go do this. And then God trains them. And this is the passage that most pastors kind of camp on. If you just do what God says, following God is odd. Doing what the word says is weird. It looks weird. And it's good. We've talked that message. Following God can look odd. And that's the story of Jericho. It can look really odd. But it's not that weird when you believe in the Red Sea. It's just not. It's like, dude, whatever God says, man, I've been here. And this is what happens is I find people, you got to get this. I find people that show up, that wake up, and there's Jericho, the biggest crisis, the biggest problem they've ever had. And I go, well, do you remember the Jordan? No. Do you remember the burning bush? No. Do you remember the Red Sea? No. I'm like, well, of course Jericho freaks you out. Of course Jericho freaks you out because you don't believe the story of God. You don't think that he can take down Jericho because you don't remember how he took you through the Jordan and through the Red Sea. And then I meet people who remember the Red Sea, who remember the Jordan, who know Jesus is with them, and Jericho comes along and they look at it with a smile. You know why? The presence of God can give you courage in the midst of your crisis. The stories of God, they'll give you courage in the midst of your crisis. You'll be able to look at big, powerful obstacles and go, we'll be fine. Why Red Sea? Why Jordan? Why Jesus? And then this is what Joshua is told from the commander. Just get the story. Wow, Jesus showed up. Now the gates of Jericho were secured. We're securely barred because of the Israelites. So they're showing up. Now, you understand this, but do you know why that they barred up the city? Do you know why? The Red Sea. The Jordan. Literally, in the story of Rahab, which is in there too, she's like, oh man, everyone's hearing about what God has done. Have you ever met someone that kind of believes generally what God does? Even a non-believer that believes that God can do powerful things more than you, and then you get to your crisis and you don't think he can knock down the walls? The people of Jericho believed more in God's goodness than Joshua until Jesus showed up. Then Jesus shows up and it's like, oh, all right, okay, Red Sea, Jordan, sandals, got it. What do you want us to do? Don't look at the bars. Don't look at the walls. Don't look at the problem. Don't look at the crisis. Look me in the eye. We're going to kick its butt. You can be courageous. You can be strong. Because look, man, look at my sword. Look what he says. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Can you just the phrasing? Walls, bars, no way in. See, I've delivered it. Oh, gosh, Red Sea, because I can't see that. I see the Red Sea. I don't see this. This looks like loss, but that's like victory. So if this is victory, maybe I got victory over here. I can't see, but I can see. I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city. This following God is odd. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. This makes no sense. Red Sea, Jordan, sandals, burning bush. Jesus showed up like a gladiator. Okay. Once all, do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry the trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times. When the priests, with the priests blowing the trumpets, when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall, rah, of the city will collapse and the army will go up. Everyone straight in to the city of Jericho. Because my word is a weapon and your remembrance of my story will give you victory in this crisis. Do what I say because of what I've done, and I will do something that you've never, ever dreamed of. Whoa. So here's the step up. Step up, you guys. Tap into what God has done. Step up and learn the stories of God. Here's where you start. Here's your homework. Joshua 1 through 11. Read the whole thing. Read Psalm 119. Read the whole thing. It's about the word of God. Read Genesis, the entire book, in the next 2 weeks. You know what that will do? It will give you courage when you see what God has done in ways you can't imagine. Closing story. There's a person goes to this church who's a dear friend of mine who is facing the crisis of all crises, the Jericho of Jerichos. We've celebrated and supported this family. It's Brett Fitzer and his wife, Christina, who has brain cancer. And this week, the brain cancer got worse after surgery. They don't know what's going on. She could pull through, she might not. It's bad. And I call Brett. Brett, how are you? Brett, what do you need? He tells me I don't need anything. I know that God is in control. What? Do you know why? He didn't wake up the day that his wife was diagnosed and think, okay, let's figure out God. He has been trying to figure out God his whole life. He's been memorizing the stories of God. He knows God's faithfulness. So when the crisis comes, he goes, okay, Red Sea. Red Sea over cancer. It doesn't mean that she won't pass. It means that he can trust God in the midst of the crisis. It means that he can have courage in the midst of the crisis. Sometimes the crisis is so overwhelming we feel like it's a loss, but God gives us peace in the midst of it because of his nature. Wow. Post-Christian, we don't believe. What are you depending on every single day? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you. I pray that everybody in here would find time to go back and read about you and see what you've done and just feel you export from the text courage into their souls. Just every word, every chapter, every story, build up a community of faith, not one that says we believe something, but one that feels a sense of domination in their soul in the midst of crisis. Do that this week and next week. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.